Let the beginning service by singing number 386. 386. 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, make haste to hear my cry. To thee I call and thee rely. Incline to me gracious ear. And when I call in mercy here, number 386. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Further, we will read to you from God's holy word, the epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, Then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that a day should overtake you as thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we walk, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonishing you, and to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that his epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. This verse. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, this in this evening hour of this Sabbath day, that we are gathered in this place of worship round about the eternal testimony, thou art speaking in the realm of nature and showing thy majesty in the thundering and lightning as we see and hear at the present time. Lord, if it could please thee to remember us in mercy in this evening, to cover us under thy wings also, those that we have left behind us, remember each and every one, and visit us in thy love and in thy favor, that it may please thee to open thy word in this evening for young and old, for great and small, and that the warnings and admonitions which shall come unto us, that we take to heart, and that it be applied by thy blessed Spirit That it be to our eternal welfare and salvation. Lord, thou knowest our needs and our wants, how helpless that we are in ourselves, that we cannot speak to the honor of thy name, that we cannot listen unless that our ears are opened by thee, and that thy word may find an entrance into our hearts, that the Holy Spirit made us receptive in this evening. Lord, leave us not over to ourselves. Give us not over to the foolishness of our hearts, but work with thy Spirit in our souls. Ungodly sorrow and a longing after thee made us hungry and thirsty after Christ and his righteousness, and that we may be satisfied with the fatness and the goodness of thy house. Lord, even that it was for some amongst us, all that thy word be a lamp for our feet and a light upon our path, and that it may please thee to look from heaven upon us and our children in mercy and in compassion, and that the light of thy countenance may shine upon us, and that we receive an undeserved blessing over upon our gathering, that the end of us to the honor of thy name and to our own salvation, but also to the gladness of our heart and soul. Lord, leave us not over to ourselves. Forgive our sins. Wash and cleanse us in the blood of the Lamb, and show thy countenance over us, and give that the end of our gathering was to our salvation and to the honor of thy precious name. Those that cannot gather with us, we commend them again at thy throne, with all the sick and afflicted in the hospitals and in the homes, with all the widows, orphans, and widowers, with all the boys in the battlefield and in this country, and where that they are, O Lord, teach them to pray and to need thee in while they are young. Where it is said in thy holy word, remember thy Creator in the days of your youth. Bind it upon all of our hearts. Strengthen also us in this evening, that we may speak no few edifying words to the congregation, and that we for ourselves may be a partaker of it, that the joy of the Lord be the strength of our heart. Lord, hear us with the pardoning and remission of all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now number 143. The collection shall be for our school and for the church. O God, according to thy grace, be merciful to me. And what follows, number 143. beloved congregation, as you know, there was in the Old Testament given a special command by the Lord in regard to the fire that was burning upon the altar. That it was burning, that was, of course, the work of the Lord, because when that tabernacle was dedicated, the same as with the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem in the olden days, then the Lord himself, he brought that fire from heaven upon the altar. And now that fire that must be always burning, the Lord would punish in the Old Testament the person that even would take one coal from that altar. And then, of course, there was something else involved, very remarkable, and that was this, that even the heavy strain that came from heaven could never quench that fire that was laying upon the altar. And of course, all those things commanded by the Lord in the olden days, that refers also to the church of the New Testament. When the Lord regenerates a sinner, then at the same time, then that fire of the Holy Spirit that starts to burn and that has his flames. And of course, that now in those olden days, that fire must be always burning, that refers also that the Lord gives through that unclear testimony that offering and that sacrifice that they brought upon the altar, that it was acceptable in the sight of the Lord. In other words, it has pleased the Lord that there all the time was in fire that was burning. And it must well be that also the Apostle Paul, that he refers to that same thing when he wrote to the Thessalonians, what we will consider for a little while this evening, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, quench not the Spirit. This far. We have in our text an earnest exhortation to whom it concerns, and in what difficult manner it takes place, and why we have to insist that it is so serious. The Apostle Paul, he wrote that epistle to the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that at the first time when the apostle came there, then he was not so welcome in that city. There was so much that came against him. The enmity against the truth which was he brought to that people that was not accepted. But of course later on it has pleased the Lord to build a church there in Thessalonians. After all that enmity that was revealed to Paul and to his preaching. And of course later on then the apostle, he wrote to them so many things in regarding the upbuilding of the spiritual life, but also he wrote so many things to them in regard to the welfare of the spiritual life, knowing all the dangers which there were also for that congregation and for them, for the living members personally. One of those exhortations we have in our text this evening, quench not the spirit. Of course, we have to realize that there is a difference, and we have to make a difference between the spirit itself and the work of the spirit and the fruit of the spirit, because the spirit itself, the third person in the Holy Trinity, he can never be quenched. It is applied in Psalm 90 not only to the Father and to the Son, but also to the Holy Spirit, what we read there, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. It is true that the children of men by nature, that they try to destroy God and to quench the Spirit, and that there are many desires that there was no God and that there was no Spirit, because for an unconverted person it is an awful thing that there is a God. But of course we can do nothing about it. It is impossible that we can bring the Lord to nothing. Thus in that respect, we can never quench the Spirit as a person. He is co-equal and co-essential with the Father and with the Son. And the same attributes and the same names and the same works and the same honor as the Father and the Son is ascribed to the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit that goes out from the Father and from the Son, that Spirit, he shall perform his work and his duties till the end of the world in the calling, in the gathering, and in the sanctifying of the church. And when the great day of judgment shall be there, then all that people that was elected from eternity and who were called, who were bought by the Son, they shall be made alive by the Holy Spirit, and he shall prepare them for that eternal glory in heaven. But of course, now to quench the Spirit, that refers to the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are very various or different. There are some gifts given even to unconverted people. And there are other gifts. They are given only to God's people. In regard to unconverted people, there are some qualifications that the Spirit gives to the people. We read in Exodus 31, verse 3, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of worship men. That was in regard to Bezalel and Aholiab, to that people that was making so many things for the tabernacle in the days of Moses and Aaron. And then, of course, that Spirit that gives also some gifts for the offers in the church, for the government. We see that in the Bible, that the judges which were there in the days of the Old Testament after Joshua, that the Lord filled that people also with the gift of the Spirit. We have no ground to believe that they all were converted men, but the Lord, he had used them. So he was also used by the Lord. He was also prophesying that the people was wandering about it, and that they say to one and another, is Saul also amongst the prophets? It was also by David that the Lord qualified him to be a gift, to be a ruler and a king over Israel. That meant he had those gifts not of himself, but they were given him by the Lord. And then, of course, there is of some other gifts given to unconverted people in regard to extraordinary gifts and talents in prophecy, in strange languages, and in miracles. Especially after the days of Pentecost, when the apostles were preaching in several places and houses, then you read that the Holy Spirit fell upon them and that they start to talk in strange languages. They were endowed with the Spirit, of course, and it can go much far also in regard to the enlightening in the truth. Because there are unconverted people that are used in the church, that they have a wonderful way to place the word of God before the people. That the people is bound to the preaching as far as it goes about the literally explanation of the word of God. And you read in the Bible about a temporal faith, that there are people that take the word of God with joy for a certain time in their life, that they rejoice in truth. And then, of course, there is also people that is steadfast in the doctrine till they die. And still, when the end of their life is there, that they have to say, personal, in my heart, I never have anything that was given me from the Lord. All those gifts and all those talents, when the people die, that stay here on earth. And that was the reason that Father Brakel, in his reasonable service, that he wrote once, it is better to have 1 ounce grace than 100 pounds understanding and mind. Without the grace of the Lord, and of course, how far does it go? Sometimes we have seen that in the life of Saul. We have seen that in the life of Judas, in the life of Demas, and so many other people, that when they came to the end of their life, that they have declared that they were standing outside of the kingdom of heaven. And we read it also in Hebrews 6, about the spiritual gifts and how far that again goes with a man, but that he never became a sinner before the Lord, that they never in their life have received grace from the Lord, that they never were brought to the knowledge of Christ, to the forgiveness of the sin, and to rest upon that holy foundation, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, the spiritual gifts belonging to God's people, they consist in the spirit of grace, the spirit of faith, the spirit of love, and the spirit of hope, and the spirit of sanctification. And the Apostle Paul, he wrote in Ephesians 5, verse 18, about God's people filled with the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful thing, congregation, that we receive that privilege in our life. And of course, also in regard to those gifts, it is an impossible that we can lose them perfectly and entirely. That is in regard to faith, in regard to hope, and also in regard to love.
But now the question is, how far can we lose it in our life? How far we never can quench the spirit of faith, but well we can quench the joy of faith. You read about that eunuch, that he traveled his way rejoicing, and of course that rejoicing in faith, we can lose that for a certain time in our life. That is also with the hope as an anchor of the soul that is given to God's people here in this world. But we can well lose for a while the assurance of that hope for our own soul, and that we become wavering for ourselves, and that we come in an awful darkness. In regard to the love, you know that Paul he wrote to the Corinthians, that love that remains and that endures. But of course, that is also so, the fire of that love, that we can lose that. That our life later on is so different as that it was in the first time of our life. And of course, it is a great difference when our experiences are so different now as that it was before, whether that it is the fruit of the chastisements of the Lord, or that it is on account of our sins. Because it can come in darkness for our soul, as in the life of Job, but of course it was not on account of some sin that was cleaving unto him. It was a trial of his faith and of his hope and of his love. And of course it goes far with that, may you know that. But nevertheless, there were always some instances in his life that the true word of God was revealed so clearly in his life that you have no doubt at all whether that the true work was in his soul. Because time and again that man, he had an answer also for the devil. And he said, once even when he slew me, still I shall hope upon the Lord. But of course, many times in our life, people, most of the time, then it is on account of our own sin. And now there are some things to observe also here in our text this evening. Paul, he said, quench not the spirit. That spirit that is here placed before us as a fire. And a fire that is enlightening. A fire that made us warm. A fire that is, as you read in Malachi 3, that is purifying. That fire that has many things to observe. And the Holy Spirit, he came also as a fire on the day of Pentecost. Cloven tongues as of fire. They came from heaven and they were sitting upon the heads of the apostles. And that means that those apostles, that they immediately were enlightened by the Holy Spirit. But now, the question that is, first of all, naturally, how that we can quench a fire? In the first place, by casting water upon it. In the second place, by spreading dust and dirt upon it. And in the third place, by the separation of the parts. And then also by withholding fuel. In the first place, by casting water upon it. Because water and fire, that are two great enemies. And when there is a fire, and they will quench that fire, then immediately they come with water. You see that time and again also in our city. Sometime when that fire is so far already, then there helps no water. But of course in other times, then after a while, then they have it under control with the water. But in other cases, when there is a fire, sometimes they cast dirt upon it and dust upon it. Sometimes then they cast upon that fire even a carpet, a heavy carpet, and it has taken place that the fire was quenched. I have also mentioned another thing. By separation of the parts. Because it happens that the people take several parts out of that fire and cast that fire far away. And then finally they have that fire also under control. Because the more things that are brought to that fire, the greater flames that you see bursting out. And then, of course, when you are withholding fuel, then also that fire that comes to an end. Therefore, of course, we have always to take care that there is fuel in the house. And that we have something to lay it upon our stove, that fire remain burning. And now, of course, where Paul here said, quench not the Spirit, then he gives us several directions and instructions in regard to the quenching of that Spirit, and not to quench that Spirit, but always to be careful. And the first thing, people, that is, when that fire is there, the same as in the days of the Old Testament, that the Lord from heaven had made that fire. That is, of course, the important thing what we have to consider. There must be a work of the Spirit in our heart. Christ, he said in John 6, verse 63, that the Spirit makes alive, that the Spirit quickens. And it is only by the power of that Spirit that a sinner shall be live and be alive. The Lord, he said in John 3, verse 8, the wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. And in our day's congregation, we have to emphasize, in regard to all that false doctrine that there is in the world, and that overflows the churches more and more, that the work of the Holy Spirit is necessary in our hearts and in our life. It is a blessing to live under the preaching and under the reading of the Word of God. We never can appreciate that privilege that the Lord has brought us under it, and that we may hear it with our ears, but it's so necessary to live in comfort and to die in peace. And that we hear not only the baptism of John, but that we hear the full counsel of God explained to men. Everything that is necessary to know, shall it be well to meet our Maker. But we can sit our whole life under it, and if the Lord not sanctify it to our heart people, then it shall all be in vain, and soon it shall testify against us in that great day of days, because nobody shall ask and ever blame the Lord that He is the cause of our eternal destruction. The Lord has walked behind us from that He came in this world, because in the providence of the Lord to be born out of parents who brought us in the church, before that we have any sense and any remembrance that this holy sacrament of baptism was given unto us, and that there was placed the mark upon our forehead, the mark of a triune God, that He in that baptism, that He declares unto us that He will be our God and the God of our seed until 1,000 generations. Some people even amongst us, they think, what is now the profit of it? What is now the meaning of it? Whether that we are baptized or not baptized. But of course, in the first place, it is an ordinance of the Lord. And in the second place, by baptism, as well as under the preaching of the Word, the Lord He is speaking to us. And the time is coming that we have to give an account of how that we have acted towards all those things. Yeah, but there are so many people that say, I can do nothing. I cannot move from one place to another. You are right. You are right, but in what manner you are saying that? Where it comes from? Because by nature, then we use that as a fence where we crawl after. And then finally, it is nothing else than revealing of our enmity against the Lord, that He will say, the Lord is the cause of my eternal destruction, but congregation. If he now realizes the seriousness of it, if he now are realizing that we are rational creatures, that we are traveling to eternity, that the Lord shall require it from our hands, and then what shall be for us in the first place, but it shall be laid before us in that day of judgment, that the Lord has created us good and upright after his own image, and that not the Lord, but that we are the cause of our fall and of our destruction, and that the Lord never has desired our downfall, never desired our destruction, because he has laid it in our own hands. We have the gifts and we have the strength to say to that serpent, no. And for always no. We serve the Lord and we prefer nothing else than to walk in his ways and to obey him with our whole heart and soul. But of course, when we are living under the true preaching of the word of God and under the gospel, then it shall be in heavier judgment if that all shall testify against us. We have to remember that the Lord said in his word that we cannot answer upon 1,000 questions. And you have not to read to think, people, that in that great day of judgment, that one after the other shall pass there, and that it shall be 1 second and 1 minute, no. But the Lord, he shall lay our life, our entire life before us, and he shall ask us how that we have done with this, and what we have done with that. He shall require that from our ends. And of course, there shall be no answer. And if we have sinned against the blood of Christ, if we have neglected the invitations of the gospel, it shall be all our own fault. And the Lord, he shall require it from our hands. And of course, the way in which the Lord is working, that is, through his, under the preaching of his word, people. And if we now neglect that, then we are cleansed in the spirit. Because we are called by the Lord under the preaching of the word. If we leave the church and it has no effect and no fruit for our soul, most of the times then that man that had read a sermon that is blamed, that had the blame for it, another time that minister that has the blame for it, or shall be a one where we have the blame. There shall be a one. Because by nature, that is so far and so far from men. We are always looking for the blame to lay it upon somebody else. But in blessing, people, that we in obedience to the command of God place ourselves under the word of God. And of course the Lord, he can comfort us in a tavern. He can comfort us in every place, but in Acts 16, we have an example. You know the history. I shall not bring it out so deep this evening. But you know that Paul came in Philippi. In Philippi. And there, there was no church. There was nothing. And then, oh, you can realize, discouraged on a Sabbath morning, then he walked outside of the city. And then finally he saw there a gathering. And then, of course, immediately he walked to that gathering. And then, of course, he started to preach there. And what happened? And the Lord, he opened the hearts of that lady. And she was attentive immediately to upon the preaching of that man. Did she know that before it in the morning that that would happen? No. But in the providence of the Lord, she was there. And it is our duty, our place to come under the word of God. And of course, I have well used that example more than once in your midst. If we have now sitting for 80 years in the tavern, and the Lord he comfort us, or that we were sitting for 80 years under the word of God, but then the Lord he calls us out of darkness of that marvelous light, shall we have regret that we have been sitting there for 80 years under that word? No. We shall have never any regret about it. Well, that we were sitting so unfruitful under it. That well. And that shall all come home to us as our own guilt and our own sin. But if we were sitting 80 years in a tavern, every time that we shall pass that tavern, then the tears shall not come in our eyes, that we say, Lord, on your day I was sitting there. I have neglected means of grace, and I have refused that Sabbath after Sabbath. Oh, children, boys and girls, come faithfully under the word of God. Let never your place empty, but place yourself under it, and maybe one day, we never know, but one day the Lord will give us a place under his word and a place in his house better than of sons and of daughters, an everlasting name that never shall be rooted out. That is when we place ourselves under the word of God. Quench not the Spirit of God. Also, congregation, we can quench that Spirit not only by neglecting the Word, but by going our own way in the world and in sin, to go over our conscience. If we ever receive some warning, then we have to be careful that we obey the voice of the Lord, because the people that harden their heart, it shall be terrible to fall in the hands of a living God. And let us always consider, people, that there is not one person in the world that goes to eternity unwarned. Not one. In the beginning of this evening, we have heard in the realm of nature the thundering of the Lord, his voice. And at this time and again that we hear it, and then also under the preaching and under the reading of the word, where Christ is preached and placed on the foreground as that only name that is given under heaven, whereby that he must be saved. The Lord, he blessed his own ordinances, and he shall do it till the end of the world. And blessed are that people that may realize for their own soul one day, who findeth me, findeth life, and obtain mercy from the Lord, as we now sing out of this psalm, the righteous through his favoring hand shall yet inherit all the land, and dwell therein for aye. He talks of wisdom and of right, in God's pure law is his delight, his steps go not astray. Number 98, the last stanza. And now, of course, there is much to say about this text further, how that we can quench the Spirit in others, how that we can quench the Spirit in ourselves, even in an uncomforted state and condition, and also where we have received a spark of that spiritual life and a crumb fallen from that master's table, a really congregation, our life that is serious. And we need young and old, great and small, we need personally the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom in our heart and in our soul, and to walk under the impressions that every moment the Lord can take us away out of this world, and that we have to appear before the Lord to give an account of our life, young and old. The Lord has given us not to come together in this evening. When we close this afternoon, I thought maybe we have no church this evening. In that little Corsica, there was Friday evening also a tornado. And so far as we know, nobody is killed, but well, that there is damage on the houses and on other buildings there in that little place. We are living under the judgments of the Lord, people, really, under his judgment. And the Lord is on his way. That is what I have to say to you also in this evening. And from Sabbath to Sabbath, it is a wonder that the Lord gave us the privilege to come together. Because in general, congregation, in general, all there is, the people is marked the word of God. The Sabbath day, that is a day to let himself out. Look on the streets, think about the stores which are open, and they are living for nothing else than to violate the law of God, to dishonor the Lord, to slay him in his face, and to declare that we have no desire in the ways of the Lord. And how far is it with God's church? How far is the world coming in the church in every manner? In dressing, in reading, so much magazines, bits are a ruin for young and old, great and small, looking to all the volcanoes, to frightenings and murderings on the television. What ruins the heart and the mind and the soul of thousands and thousands in the days in which we are living, where the crimes are multiplying, as several judges already have declared in public and congregation. The judgments of the Lord are here on earth, in our own country. And how quick shall be the day and the time that the Lord shall say, I bring it to an end. As it happens with the first world, who was drowned with water, and the second world shall be burned up with fire. The Lord is coming on the cloud, people. Quench not the spirit. Place yourself in humility with confession, guilt, and sin before the face of the Lord. Break with sin. Break with all iniquity, because it is cleansing of the spirit in our heart, in our house, in our families, and to come as before him as a sinner. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And if that will take place, people, oh, then the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shall wash and cleanse us from all our sin. There is a way to escape the wrath of God in his beloved Son, who is altogether lovely, who is a seedest among 10,000, who cried out at his finish, who has perfected his work, and death to restore a sinner into communion with God, and to give him that peace that passes all understanding, children of God, that we not cleanse the spirit, but that we were privileged with Jacob to take all the idols and to bear them, to burn them up, that was better. Because if we bear it, then we cannot pull them out of the ground. But to burn them up to ashes, that there was nothing left. And with that Ephraim, go away with all the idols, because the Lord is jealous upon the honor of his name and for his people to walk in his ways. May the Lord grant us the privilege that those few words in this evening be blessed and be sanctified to our hearts, and that need for that spirit, for that third person in the Trinity, but also for his work and for his fruit, that it may fill our heart to the honor of the Lord and to our joy and salvation. Amen. Lord, bless thy precious word to our heart. It has pleased thee to grant us the privilege to come together. Maybe some people are afraid to come with the children, but we are spared in the house, and also we hope them in the houses. Be with all of us in the week that lay before us. Lord, that the eyes were open over us and our children. Protect us, take care for us. Pour out thy spirit in our heart. O Lord, let thyself not unwitness, but visit us in thy favor and in thy love. Speak to thy people. Comfort the uncomforted, gladden our hearts by thy almighty deeds, and be with us also in this week for the sick and afflicted, for those who are in the hospital and to go in the hospital, and for the boys in the service, for him that shall leave his parents again, for all those other ones who are in danger. Lord, spare their life. And prepare all of us to meet our Maker, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now 423. Ye lovers of the Lord, to him all praise accord. And what follows 423, 6 and 7. Thank you.
bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.